Take it away, Pat.
Okay, I'd like to remove the red and green bars, but I'll go ahead. Okay, amateur radio technician class training. Slides created by Alan Walkie. Permission granted for use by the Moore Project based on no nonsense technician class. We've seen this about 5 weeks by now. Updates by Dr. Rebecca. And let me see, how do I change?
I think if you use the page down arrow.
There it is.
There you go.
Four, that's where my slides had it.
Oh, that's it. There you go. That's it. Just keep going.
I skipped last week and I'm on the fifth.
Yep. Electrical safety. There you go. Take it away.
Hazards and grounding. Antenna and tower safety. RF hazards and radiation. You know, there are hazards in what we do. We stick antennas up in the sky. Well, that can attract lightning. Antennas and tower safety. You don't want to fall off a roof. You don't want to fall off a tower. And then there's the option of using too much power and getting physical harm. So let me see. Safety concepts. Well, the concept is safety first. All these items here, AC power, hazardous voltages, fuses, DC power, etc. All these things are related to safety. General safety. It's easy to contact with dangerous voltages. 30 volts or more can result in dangerous shock. Telephone wires, two telephone wires, you touch them, wet your fingers, touch them, you can feel 48 volts. When the phone rings, you can feel 140 volts. It's dangerous. If there's 100 milliamps flowing through your body, that can cause death. So everyone says thousands of volts, millions of volts. Yes, they are certainly dangerous. But down as low as 30 volts is considered in the safety, in the world of safety, to be the threshold. How does current flowing the bottom and how does current flowing in the body cause harm? You can heat your tissue, you can disrupt electrical function of cells. You can have involuntary mental muscle contractions. So these are some of the answers that you would need to know for the test. 30 volts, 100 milliamps, and these three items. Heating of tissue, disruption of electrical function, and involuntary muscle contractions. AC power safety. You plug into the wall, those outlets you see on the upper right-hand corner are 115 volts. The three-wire outlets and plugs are safer than two-wire. That's why in modern homes, the electrical standard is three wires. Third wire is a safety ground, also known as an equipment ground. Safety ground is often connected with a green wire. Building or room outlets may not be properly grounded. You should check. That little yellow tool down the bottom. Some tools are yellow, some tools are green. All electricians have them. If you're gonna do any wiring around your house or checking around your house, you should have one too. Use three wire cords and plugs for all AC equipment. That's a good way to guard against electric shock. Connect all AC power equipment to a common safety ground. Anything you plug in, any radio system, should be connected to a common safety ground. That means, oh, they all get connected together. use circuit protected by a ground fault interrupter. That's another way to protect you. That's part of the building code. Around the sink, outside, in the garage, all those circuits are protected by a ground fault interrupter. Currently called GFCI, ground fault circuit interrupter. Fuses and circuit breakers, they interrupt power in case of an overload. Always replace the fuses with the same type and rating. For example, putting a 20 amp fuse in place of a 5 amp fuse can cause a fire from excessive current, 4 times higher than the equipment's meant to take. Always include fuse or circuit breaker in homemade equipment. If you're going to hook up your own equipment to do it, make sure you include a fuse or circuit breaker. Fuses in 120 volt AC powered equipment are used in the hot lead. If you're on 120 volts, you need only put them in the hot lead. When you're working on equipment, these little blue guys, sometimes the big blue guys, like the second picture, store electricity. They store electricity, and you should disconnect it from power. So they store electricity, so you're still not safe. So you have to work with one hand. Don't touch two circuits, one circuit, one chassis, one circuit, one ground. Don't touch two pieces, because then the electricity will zap you. From one hand to the other, right in between is your heart. Let's see, in the lower right-hand picture, in the upper center piece of that, I see a white item. That to me looks like a bleeding resistor that bleeds the electricity away within a minute or two after you disconnect the power. That's something that you should always include if you build your own power supply. Commercial equipment should already have one in there. Battery safety. Well, it's only 12 volts. Well, 12 volts wasn't listed. However, batteries are dangerous. Car batteries are dangerous. Explosive gas can collect if you're charging and not venting it. Shorting the terminals. You short the terminals, the wires or the bars or a wrench that you're using around the car battery. They can cause burns, fire, or explosion. They can overheat and give flammable gas or explode. If the power is out, recharge your 12 volt battery by connecting to a car battery and running the engine in a well-ventilated engine. So if you have emergency power and you're far away from the charger, because the power's out, you don't have that charger. Run the car and charge the battery that way. Remember to observe the color code. The plus terminal goes to red. Red wires, red cables. The minus terminal goes to black cables, or in this case, there's a blue cap there. Blue is not red. It's the only other one, only other choice you have, so it is the negative connection, the minus connection. Antenna safety. Antenna installation has its own special rules. Look for and stay clear of overhead electrical wires. I see overhead electrical wires near the front of the house. That's where the tower is, near the front of the house. Keep 10 feet of clearance to power lines, even if the antenna should fall. So if there's a big storm and your antenna falls, it looks like it's possible to hit those power wires. Never use a utility pole as a support. So you can't be 10 feet away from the wires if you're on a utility power pole. That's what's wrong with that picture. It's not 10 feet away when the antenna falls. And who recognizes these ladies? They are not licensed electricians. Position antenna so no one can come in contact when transmitting. RF burns can be painful and dangerous. It looks like they might be violating the 10-foot rule, not to mention they might fall off the roof just because they're not experienced. And if it's a transmitting antenna, somebody's got to be sure that there's no transmission going on while they're playing around on the roof. That white pole lifting up the top piece of the tower, it's called a gin pole. Use a gin pole to lift the tower pieces or antennas to raise it up. Always use a climbing harness. That's a belt, goes around your upper part of your body also to make sure you don't slip and fall off the tower. Everyone at the site should wear hard hat and safety glasses because there will be tools falling under you. Everyone should have hard hat and safety glasses and never climb alone. I guess that's the most basic rule, is never climb alone. Crank-up towers must be fully retracted before climbing. So a climb-up tower, you don't have to put the pieces up with a gin pole. You just turn the crank from down on the ground and it goes up. But before you climb it, make sure it's fully retracted. It's not strong enough. A crank-up tower isn't strong enough. So, well, it's up in the air, so it must be fully retracted before climbing. You fully retract it, you put on the new antenna, and then you crank it back up again. Use safety wires in turnbuckles to tension guy wires to prevent loosening. The turnbuckle is on the end of the wire closest to the ground, and that has to be turned until the wire is very tight. That's how you tension your guy wires to keep the antenna and the tower from falling over. To keep the turnbuckle from loosening, you should put a safety wire through there so it doesn't loosen itself up on its own. Tower grounding, very important. The tower is a big lightning rod. Consult local electrical codes to put up a tower. Usually means you have to know what you're doing, and you might check it out with the building code inspector. So you and he agree on what you're going to do. You might say, I want a yard of concrete, and he might say he wants 2 yards of concrete. Well, then you got a mess. You should have separate 8-foot grounds per tower leg. If you have a 3-leg, you should have 8-foot grounding rods, 3 of them. So the lightning that comes down that leg goes straight into the ground and doesn't get splattered around on all your wires. That's a good practice. If you have a 4-legged tower, you should have 4 grounding rods. Bond all legs and rods together. You can see at the bottom of the tower, they are welded to a plate. That plate bonds them electrically together. You should have short, direct connections. Lightning has already come down from the sky for a mile. It's likely to jump anywhere over your roundabout wiring, your roundabout connections to the ground links. You want short, direct connections, because otherwise the lightning is going to go elsewhere. Avoid sharp bends. Sharp bends. Now, I've worked in a lightning lab, and those wires at the base of the those straps at the base of the tower, if you put a right angle bend in there, the lightning jumps right over it. Doesn't go where you wanted it to. The same with the lower picture. Those brass colored straps, you want the lightning to go the shortest route to ground. You don't want to throw any more right angle turns and let it ignore where you're trying to ground and go into your antenna wire. All feed line lightning protection devices should be mounted to a common plate and connected to an external ground. That's four antenna wires. I'm not sure what he's doing with the fifth one, but it's four antenna wires, goes to four lightning protectors and going to a well-grounded plate. RF exposure. When using high power, you are required to perform an RF exposure evaluation. Now, when these slides were made years and years ago, it was only for high power. And now, with walkie-talkies getting higher and higher power, the FCC changed their mind and says, you should really have an evaluation done for all your RF transmitters. Even though VHF and UHF are non-ionizing radiation. Now, ionizing radiation is called, what's it called? Radioactivity. We don't make radioactivity. We have radio. Radiation, non-ionizing radiation, that's an answer. Non-ionizing radiation. On VHF, you can run up to 50 watts peak envelope power. That's for general purposes, that's 50 watts at the antenna without performing an exposure evaluation. However, there's a new condition. If you're going to hold 50 watts, if you're going to hold 10 watts up to your face in a handy talkie. That's something that you should be concerned with. Your family should be confirmed with. Make sure you're not exposing yourself to other physical hazards. RF exposure evaluation can be performed by a calculation based on the FCC OET Bulletin 65, if you're a scientist, go ahead. Calculation based on computer modeling. That's easy. You go online and you ask for a computer modeling for RF exposure. RF exposure, computer modeling. I have one here, which has been recommended for many years, and it's still unchanged. It's a ham club called Lake Washington. Hamclub.org. When you get to their website, you go to resources, you go to RF exposure, and there's a calculator. You plug in a few simple numbers, and it tells you some numbers, for example, I'll give you in a few minutes. Or by measurement of field strength using calibrated equipment. Yeah, I mean, as an active ham, as somebody working in the field of radio, you will run across much more than a handy talkie. Although a handy talkie does pretty well for us, we have a lot of volunteers putting together repeater systems to let you use the handy talkies that you might win, that you might earn at the end of this course, to talk around your state, around your county, and around the world. There's a lot of volunteer hams putting together systems that go much further distances than you've ever thought a walkie-talkie could go. Where do you think your cell phone goes? Your cell phone can go around the world. It's following the path of the hams who put up systems, and I'll talk about one later. And let's see. So one of the things you put in your RF exposure calculator is the duty cycle. Percentage of time the transmitter is transmitting. Duty cycle is factored into exposure because it affects the average exposure level. If you're only talking 5% of the time and you're listening to the other 20 people, then you're on a 5% duty cycle. If you're talking with one other person, then that's a 50% duty cycle. You talk 3 minutes, they talk 3 minutes. You talk 3 minutes, they talk 3 minutes. So that should be a 50% duty cycle. So duty cycle is factored in because it affects the average exposure level. How long is your body is exposed to RF? Now, if you're up on the roof, there are cellular antennas. Those white panels on the roof in the picture are cellular antennas. The RF exposure limits vary. For example, depending on the strength, the power, and the frequencies of those cellular towers and the cellular panels on a roof, they're aiming off the roof. But if you're within 20 feet, and in some cases 2 feet, you have exposure to some health hazards. So if you end up working in the cellular industry or doing any other work on the roof, be careful where you're standing, where you're working. The exposure limits vary with frequency. The human body absorbs more energy at some frequencies than others. The 50 megahertz band has the lowest maximum permitted exposure level. So that's because it's in bold. That is a question on the test. 50 megahertz band is the ham band that is most sensitive to high power transmitters. Doesn't mean all transmitters, but high power transmitters. Factors that affect exposure are the frequency and power level of the RF field, distance from antenna to person, radiation pattern of antenna. Like I said, the yellow portion there of those white panels should be going forward. If you're working behind it, you're not in the radiation pattern, hopefully. But I've worked in the cellular field. In my experience, there are no white panels that shoot backwards. These all shoot forward over the top of the roof, over the edge of the roof. So to keep exposure safe, you got these choices. And these antennas are not handy talkies. These are meant for higher power signals. To keep safe, you can relocate the antennas, move them out of your way, lower the power levels, transmit less, reevaluate if you need to make any changes. And the guys down the bottom are using calibrated equipment to check, is it safe outside this guy's backyard? Okay, let me get back to what I was going to say. If you use an RF exposure calculator, such as the Lake Washington Ham Club.org calculator, RF exposure calculator, I put numbers in there, which through the years I found are good enough to be safe. If the power going into your antenna, pick up an antenna here. Okay. Let me unshare. Stop share. Okay. Go back to the speaker. Help.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we can see you.
All right. So the Moore Project has given me this handy talkie to teach from. Here's an antenna, and it is roughly 2.1 dB of gain. Yes, there are better antennas, longer antennas. Actually, the shorter ones are about 2.1. All right, I'll stick with this one. But if you want more gain, more signal, you buy a longer antenna, and it might give you 3.3 dB or 4 dBi of gain. I is a measurement. 2.1 dBi is a measurement of antenna gain that you might expect from this antenna. You know, it's just small differences. Now, I don't know where you are in antenna theory, but half the antenna is in the radio and half is in the antenna here. The dipole has two halves. In walkie-talkies, the bottom half is usually your hand. Now, you can stand it up somewhere, or you can hold it in your hand. But the with that antenna on it, the answer is usually considered to be about 2.1. And with 2.1 and a 5-watt handy-talkie, it's a little bit too close to being dangerous. So I always say, turn your radio to half power. If you need it, if you need more than that, use a bigger antenna, move it further away from your face. And then you'll meet some of the better guidelines. Some of the better guidelines are, or keep your duty cycle low. So the power at the antenna of 2.5 watts, and this mode is FM, so that's 100% duty cycle. The transmit duty cycle time, 3 minutes on, 3 minutes off. That's the rules. The FCC doesn't want the repeaters staying on for more than 3 minutes at a time. So if you learn that cadence, and you can actually set the timer in your radio, your TOT, timeout timer, for 3 minutes, you won't exceed that. So 3 minutes on, 3 minutes off, antenna gain of 2.1. You have two different bands you're working with. That is the 440 band. I centered it on 445 megahertz, and the 2 meter band centered on 146 megahertz. At 2.5 watts, at 445 megahertz, the calculator from the Washington Club says You should talk 4 minutes. I'm sorry, 4 inches. 4 inches from your face. And this way you don't get any thermal heating in your eyes, in your eyeballs. And you can turn it sideways. You might be turning it sideways and losing some signal strength, but still, if you're in a habit of turning it sideways, you get more signal bouncing off the side of your face and going around your head instead of going through your head. And then the next version is 2 meters. 2 meters, 2.5 watts. 2.5 watts, 146 megahertz in the center of the band. 5 inches. So you got 4 inches or 5 inches to keep the thing within a safe range. If you're putting it up to your mouth, it's not so safe. Putting it up to your eyeball, not so safe. So that's the explanation of the RF exposure calculators, the numbers you should put in, the numbers you should live by. So for decades worth of science, that's what they agree on. Okay.
So what you're saying is hold the radio like 4 or 5 inches away from your face and have it have not the antenna not pointing right at your face. So like I talk over the microphone. It can still be heard perfectly, but you just hold it out about, 4 or 5 inches away from your face.
Yes.
Good. Those are good admonitions, and you can't fault the math. The math is the math. We can't change those numbers. Those frequencies are the ones that we use with these radios. So you just don't want to be talking a lot. You want to be listening more than you're talking. And that will also be helpful. Now, you don't have this problem with your base station radios because the antenna is like somewhere else. It's like, outside of your house or wherever. And so it's not at your face. But with your handhelds, they are right next to your face.
And when you're starting off, you get an adapter on the top of the radio and hook it to a coaxial wire to your antenna. My nearest antenna is on my refrigerator. On the other side of the next room.
Yeah, then you're not worrying about it.
So I'm not worrying about it. But if I'm in a ham fest or a room or some area where I only want to talk to people for the next 400 feet, just set the radio to the lowest possible power. You don't need 2.5 or 5 watts. 2.5 or 5 watts is for you to reach the repeater to go another.
Right. You don't need that if you're local, like on the same field or whatever. Yeah.
The benefit is your battery will last longer and the radio won't get hot while you're talking.
That's true. That is true. Right. So, and again, it doesn't affect it when you're listening. It's only when you're talking because that's when your radio is broadcasting. It's sending signals out. So another thing that you showed was about the capacitors. Back in the day when we used to make, gigantic color televisions, there were gigantic capacitors that were charged up inside of those televisions. People, when they were throwing them out they didn't throw them out. They just put them up in their attic. Those capacitors, those large capacitors can still be holding power in them. And people mistakenly might touch the connectors and, you can really give yourself a bad shock. So that's, be careful about those large capacitors. Now we have teeny tiny capacitors. They're not usually going to be hurting you that much, but you still can get hurt. So again, a lot of, basically this whole section is about safety. These are the things the FCC wants you to know. And that was great. Anybody have any questions?
Let me top off that topic on safety.
Okay.
You touch any electricity that gives you a shock. It may not kill you, but the fall off the ladder could kill you. So.
Right. That's true as well. That's right. So, okay, well, I'm going to shut off the recording right now.